Parshas Chukas, page 842 in the Art Scroll. Parshas Chukas is mostly, or to a large degree, about Parah Aduma, and starts off with all the very minute laws of the red calf. But the truth is that it gets very exciting very quickly, and we're going to focus on that part. Starting with Parak Chaf, page 842, Pasuk Aleph. We're all there. Good. So the Pasuk says, you got it? 842? Okay. Perek Chaf, chapter 20, verse 1. Vayavo bnei Yisrael kol ha'ida midbar tzin b'chodesh ha'rishon v'yeshev ha'am b'kadesh v'tamasham Miriam v'tikover sham. So the Pasuk says that we're placing this story all at the end of the 40 years, the 40th year. In the first month, everybody comes to Midbar Tzin, which is the desert, and everybody camps in Kadesh, and there Miriam dies. Miriam is Moshe's older sister, and she dies. That's all it says about her death, that one verse. Interestingly. Then the pasuk continues, V'lohaya mayim lo'eda, and this group of people, the Jewish people, didn't have any water. V'yikalu al Moshe v'al Aharon. So they gathered around Moshe up. And Aaron, they ganged up. That's a good translation. What's that?
Is Ada everybody?
It says Kol Ha'Ada, Lo Yomayim Lo Ada, that the group didn't have, and then it says Vayakalu Al Moshe. So it's whoever didn't have water seems to get gathered. It sounds like it's the whole group, and I think the word Ada is used earlier. Pasuk, beginning of Pasuk Aleph, Vayvo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda. And Rashi and Pasuk Aleph says, Eda hashlema means the complete group, excluding, meaning the people who had died in the Midbar and people who were going to die in the Midbar were done. All those original people who, for them, they wandered for 40 years, they had already died. So this is the 40th year. There's only the pure are left. And these pure who are left, who are the ones who are going to go into the land of Israel, they gather around Moshe because there's no water. This is after Miriam dies. There's no water. Vayar va'am in Moshe vayomu le'mor lu gavan v'gva achinu l'fnei Hashem. So no longer can they say we shouldn't have left Egypt because they were never in Egypt. So they said if only we would have died with our parents who had died in the Midbar, right? They've been wandering for the last 38 years. All their parents had died in the Midbar.
They're the second generation.
This is the second generation exclusively.
They fetched just as well as the first.
They fetched it, right, a little different, but just as well. Rashi says, why would they prefer them? What's the difference? What's the difference if they die with the other people? They die now. So Rashi says, it would have been better to die in the plague that had killed the rest of the people, their parents, than to die of thirst in the desert. Rav Huttner had a very interesting observation. Rav Huttner was on a plane that was hijacked. I don't know the year, and I don't know exactly the story, but it was not in Tebe. It was one of the other hijacked planes. Rav Huttner was on this plane, and they didn't have food, they didn't have water, they were stuck for days and days. And he had an observation during that time. The Gemara says, mentioned over here in Rashi, that thirst is the worst form of death. So he said they were all suffering from thirst. So he said, why does the Gemara say that thirst is the worst kind of death? He says, because you know you're going to die, and you feel you're going to die, and all you can think about is a cup of water. You don't have the clarity to think about anything else.
Well, when you're dying of hunger, all you think about is food.
There you go. That's a good point. I think he would include that also. The Gemara doesn't mean that. But what he's pointing out and what he's observing about the Rashi's comment over here about thirst is that the reason thirst is a worse form of death is because of the psychological component. And they said if only we could have died suddenly, or even not suddenly in some plague, it would have been better than dying of thirst.
This is a heat. The desert, the dryness.
Absolutely, all that.
In the first days in Israel, there's something here in the 3 weeks, but if you're in Israel in a few weeks, but outside, it's tough.
Yeah, I remember that from my days in camp and and Israel wandered around Yerushalayim on Tisha B'Av. I don't know why camps have the kids wander around Yerushalayim on Tisha B'Av. But that's what we do.
I just imagine how hard it was to still be in Yom Kippur there, too.
They couldn't keep you inside and maybe teach us something?
That's what I'm saying. That would have been a smart idea.
Yes.
But I was a kid. I didn't go for that. That's not how kids were. We want to be outside. Okay.
Your choice. Okay.
Right. Well, then, and they allowed it. The pasuk continues. V'lama haveisem esakal Hashem el midbar zel lama shama nachnu v'reinu. Why'd you bring us here to die? Us and our cattle, we're all just going to drop dead in the desert. You know, it's going to be a really bad experiment. Taking the Jewish people out of Egypt, bringing them to the land of Israel. They get thrown out of the land of Israel for the first time. They wander around for 38 years. They come back, and then they collapse at the border. Why do you take the Jewish people, why do you take us out of Egypt to die in this place? This is not the place of the planting, of the fig, of the vine, of the pomegranate. This is not what we were promised. This is not why we signed on. There's not even water to drink. Moshe and Aaron don't know what to do, so they come to the Mishkan, and Hashem appears to everybody. What does Hashem say? Or Hashem appears to them. Vayidaber Adonai al Moshe l'imor. Kach es hamatzeh v'hakel es ha'ida, ata v'aharon achicha v'dipartem el ha'sela l'inehem, v'nasan me'mav v'hotzesa lehem mayim v'nasela v'hishkisa es ha'ida v'es v'iram. Hashem says, take your stick, this is the stick, the famous stick, the one that Moshe has been using for the last 40 decades, and according to the Medrash, it's existed for millennia. This is a very important stick. Either way, take that stick that you always take and gather the people together, you and Aaron.
Is that the stick he used to his power?
Yes, the same stick, exactly the same one. V'dibartem el ha'sela, and you should speak to the rock, le'enehem, in front of the Jewish people, the nasan me'mav, and the rock will give its water. The hotzesa lehem mayim nasela, and you'll remove water from the rock. The ishkisa es ha'eda, and you'll give water to the people, the esbiram, and their animals. Sounds like a great idea.
That's sounds like what?
A great idea, if it works, right? Sounds like a good idea if it's going
to
work.
God said it, so it has to
so
work.
So God says it, so it's going to work. So then it's a good idea.
No question.
Vayikach Moshe samatam lifnei Hashem. Moshe went and he took the stick from in front of God. What does it mean, me'enei Hashem? Lifnei Hashem. What does it mean that it was in front of God? So the Ibn Ezra said that it was that Moshe kept his stick in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he took the stick from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kasher Tzivahu, as exactly as he was commanded. So Hashem gives Moshe a command. He says, take your stick, go speak to the rock. Moshe does exactly as he's told, and he goes and retrieves his stick from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vayakilu Moshe v'Aaron es ha'kahol el p'nei ha'sela. He gathers together with Aaron and all the Jewish people in front of the rock. Vayomer lahem, and he says to them, assumably that's Moshe. I mean, the pasuk started by Yakilu Moshe v'Aaron. They gathered, Moshe and Aaron gathered the Jewish people, by Yomer Lahem, and he said, it doesn't say who he is.
But he's the one that usually speaks to the people.
Right, he's the one who usually speaks, and also he's the greatest of the group. So, assumably it's Moshe. They both got punished. That's
poor
true.
Poor Moshe. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Well, we don't know
job.
What happened yet.
What a let's, job! What?
It's true. But let's read the story. By Yomer Lahem, and he, assumably Moshe, said to them, "Shimu na hamorim." Listen now. The word "na" means now. Listen now, you who are rebellious. Hamin asel hazeh no tzilachem mayim. Am I going to take out water for you from this rock? Hamin, the hay, at the beginning with the chatzaf patach underneath, usually is a question.
Where's the ha-ha-ha-ha?
Under the hay in Hamin. Hamin. Hamin Asalaza.
Yes.
So usually that means a question. So he says, am I going to take out water from this rock for you? Not sure what that question means. That's going to be a big issue we're going to deal with. Vayara Moshe es yado, and Moshe raises his hand. Vayachas esel b'mateyu. He hits the rock with his stick, pamayim, twice. Vayitzu mayim rabin vateshta eda. A lot of water came out. Vateshta eda, and the Jewish people drank. Uv iram, and their cattle. So it seems, if you would stop the story here, that it was successful. Why?
They got what they wanted.
Water.
Right. Mm-hmm. Seems to have gone smoothly enough. What do you say?
I'm a bit complicated about it.
Let's hear it. Well, we didn't finish the story yet.
Yeah,
but
that's why.
So let's finish the story. Yeah. It's only a couple more psukim. It's very short. Vayomer Hashem a Moshe vel Aaron. Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, both of them, Yan lo hemantem bi, because you didn't believe in me, lahakti sheni, to make me holy.
He's insulted.
I wouldn't say insulted.
No?
No, I wouldn't say insulted. I don't think that's the tone here.
Huh? You had a chance to do a kiddush Hashem.
Right, I mean, you didn't make me holy. You didn't make my name holy, le'nei b'nei Yisrael, in front of the Jewish people. Therefore, you will not bring the Jewish people el ha'aretz she'nesati lahem, the land that I gave them. Yeah.
Okay. The last time that he had to get water for the people, he was told to strike with the stick. And not only, I mean, I'm here for Moshe's side. I don't understand why Hashem is so hard on him with this. Not only that, Moshe was so ufgeraked about this whole thing that he called the people, I don't know what the word is in Hebrew, but rebels. I mean, Moshe was like beside himself with the whole thing. And now they're screaming for water, and God says, you know what, you'll get water from the rock, take the stick. I can understand how, he hit it with the stick. And I don't understand why Hashem is so hard on him with this.
I'm so glad we brought you along. That's exactly, those are the questions that the Rishonim all ask.
Do they have answers?
There are many, many answers here. Or at least, yes, they try. There are many, many answers.
Do they have Rachmanis on Moshe?
The questions presume Rachmanis on Moshe. That's why they're questions. If you're going to take a hard line, so you don't have any problem, right? Moshe was punished. Well, he strayed, so he gets punished. The questions assume some Rachmanus. I was explaining to my son Yaakov, who's 5, there's a book called Shimshon's Monster or something. I don't remember what it's called. But it's about a guy who refuses to do tshuva. And every year he throws his averos into the ocean. And he thinks he gets rid of them. And eventually they pile up and they turn into a monster. And then they try to eat his family. It's a kid's book. I got it from the library. I didn't even pick it out. This is the book that they picked out.
Okay.
Either way, so and you I realized throwing the averos into the water, the little monsters, that's tashlich.
Right?
That's right. The person's relying on this minhag, this
automatic forgiveness.
Or he thinks he can get rid of them. And in the end, they come back to haunt. So I explained to him that real teshuva means regret. And I said, the fact that there's teshuva in the world, Mesil Sharm points out, is a chesed in the way that Hashem created the universe. Really, spiritually, there should be no ability of teshuva. You do something wrong, and you get punished for it. There's no teshuva. Just like in a secular law system, there's basically no tshuva. You can't repent your deeds. You do something wrong, you evade taxes for 50 years, 30, you go to jail, right? You don't feel bad about it. So the fact that there's tshuva is a chesed. And we're so used to it that we judge characters in Tanakh assuming Hashem's chesed. According to strict law, obviously Moshe is responsible. Whatever he did, you're going to be responsible. But the fact that we're so accustomed to Hashem's ways is good. That's how we should. That's how we should feel. What did Aaron do that the Ramban? These are all.
Vayidom Aharon.
That was in a different place, but it's true over here also. So let's just list a couple of questions. We'll go through a few approaches in the Rishonim. But what I want to show is an overarching, a thread that runs through many of the approaches, which disparate approaches that seem to come together if you look at them in a certain way. So what are the questions? Question number one is, well, what did Moshe do wrong? If you had stopped the story before his punishment, it would have seemed like he did everything right.
Poor guy.
Right? He used the stick. He should have
That's
told.
One option. But
God said talk.
Maybe. Okay, but...
I mean, maybe. It said so, no?
Hashem did say talk.
For 40 years, he led these people, these suffering people, in the desert, in the heat, in the dryness. He tried so hard, and now he's being punished for one act. I don't buy it.
He has my admiration.
He got water with the stick before. It's almost so like what? A habit.
Question number one is, what did Moshe do wrong? Question number two, if you assume that he should have spoken to the rock instead of hitting the rock, like we all know, because
no,
that's what's talking. So then Sonny's question comes up, how do you know you're supposed to talk to the rock? Last time he was told to hit the rock, that's the Ramban's question. The Ramban says, when Hashem says, speak to the rock, what does that mean to talk? You really think you're supposed to? That's what you think it means? The Ramban says, no, obviously you're supposed to interpret Vidibartim el hasela. Hashem says, take your stick and go talk to the rock. How do you talk to a rock with a stick?
You say, hello, rock.
No, you hit it. And how do I know that's the right? How do I know that's the right interpretation?
Hello, ball.
I don't understand it.
How do you know the Ramban says, how do you know that's the right interpretation, that he was supposed to hit the rock? Because last time he hit the rock. So Hashem, last time told him to hit the rock, A. B, Hashem told him to take the stick along. And C, he said, talk to the rock. He said, how do you talk to a rock?
But there's bigger miracles than talking to a rock going on.
Hitting a rock is just as big a miracle as speaking to the rock. But the Ramban's point is that Rashi, which is what we're all assuming, Rashi's quotes from the Medrash that Moshe's mistake, Moshe's Avera, Moshe's Chet, was that he hit the rock and Hashem said to speak to the rock.
Right.
One second. That's what the Ramban says. That's what Rashi says. And the Ramban questions that, and he said that can't be the right interpretation, because he said, if I were Moshe, I would have done the same thing. Even knowing Moshe was punished for it, I would have done the same thing. Because everything points to the fact that Moshe should have hit the rock. That's what he did last time. That's what he was told to do last time, A. B, he was told to take the stick along. And C, you don't talk to rocks. So he says, I would have interpreted it also like Moshe. And I said, I still think that Moshe was supposed to hit the rock. So what we're going to do is show different interpretations and show a thread that ties them together. But we'll have to just go through them. Let's get a couple more comments and then we'll go through Kiseder, what's going on. Yes?
Maybe they're so grief-stricken with Miriam's death that they have tunnel vision and they had a chance for Kiddush Hashem. How and what, I'm not sure. But they missed an opportunity to impact on a new group of people.
So it sounds like you were saying two things. First, you were saying, secondly, you were saying that it was a missed opportunity of Kiddush Hashem.
Right.
That sounds very much like what the Pesukim are saying.
Right.
And you're adding...
It's right after
an environment,
death, because that's where
the context is, they were mourning. I mean, they're mourning for their sister. She died a week ago.
And there went the water.
And because of that, so the people are pressuring them. They're like, I'm going through my own grief. I'm processing for myself. And because of that, they broke down.
Maybe
interesting.
She died of thirst.
Was Miriam?
No, the well was
the water
there
was later.
In her
she had plenty of water to drink. Other comments before we go through in order.
Well, I don't know if it's after what we're talking about, but I've heard many people say the question, why didn't Moses didn't have the schus to go into the land? But here they give the answer. I don't know why people keep questioning it.
Right, it's a good question. Sonia, what you're observing are multiple layers of interpretation. And you're right. On the surface, there's a reason. But what those who give other reasons why Moshe didn't give only to Eretz Yisrael are trying to find other bolstering reasons.
Big injustice.
To show it. Okay, so let's go through. I want to go through three interpretations. The interpretation of Rashi, which we've mentioned. The interpretation of the Rambam, and the interpretation of the Ramban. Three interpretations of many, many. But the reason there are so many interpretations is because it's so difficult to understand. I had a Rebbe in 11th grade who said, when you're on the right path, you meet lots of friends. Meaning, when the answer's obvious, everybody says it.
That's
when
right.
The answer's very difficult, there are many people saying different things.
That's
so Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, and because we're a little bit short on time, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. But Rashi says that Moshe's chet was, like we said, that he, instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. That was the chet. And we can understand how he would have made that mistake with other things, but in the end, Hashem told him to talk, and he hit. But the problem is that the pasuk says more than that. The pasuk says, "Lo kidashtem." What does it say? Yan lo hamantim bilahakisheni leinei bnei Yisrael. The root or the reason this chet was so problematic was because it removed kiddush Hashem. Yan lo hamantim, you didn't believe me. You believe in me, lahakisheni, to make me holy in front of the Jewish people. So Rashi quotes over here from the Medrash.
Well, I needed a little encouragement at that point.
I wouldn't say that. I think that sounds petty, and I don't think that fits with the text in front of us. So let's see what... I think it's a different interpretation. Rashi certainly offers a different interpretation. What does he say? Lahakti sheni. She'ilu dibartem... This is in Pasuk Yud Beis. She'ilu dibartem el ha'sela v'hotzi. Had you spoken as I told you to? Hashem says, I told you to talk to the rock. And had you done that, heyisi mikudash le'inei ha'ida, I would have been made holy. That my holiness would have been understandable to the people. The omen, why? What would they have said? The Jewish people who were watching would have said, menasel hazeh, she'inu medaber enu shamea. The rock doesn't talk, doesn't hear. Ve'inu tzarach leparnasa, and it's not trying to eke out a living.
What, the rock?
The rock, right? It doesn't need to make a living. It doesn't need to eat, doesn't need to sleep, doesn't need to drink. Mikayim dvaros shemakom, and even so, it doesn't talk, doesn't hear, and doesn't need anything from Hashem. And yet, despite the fact that it doesn't need anything, it still fulfills the word of God. Kavachomer anu, so for sure us, right? We can understand what God wants. We hear, we speak. We need Hashem. We rely entirely on Hashem. And yet, sometimes, often, we disregard what Hashem says. So have they seen, even a rock listens to God's will, listens to God's word, so then the Jewish people would have said, well, we also have to listen. But they say, now they say, look, the rock also doesn't listen, so they also don't listen. Yes?
Also, I guess if I should say, I don't mean it there to Aaron and Moshe, but it's perhaps an insensitivity that it's a new generation and they're assuming the same old, what they did with the older generation. They don't have a sensitivity that this is a new generation who wasn't impoverished and who might be a little bit more sensitive to the shock and awe.
The shock and awe of?
Of talking to the rock and seeing the miracles.
I mean, they didn't see the miracles of Mitzrayim, so maybe they would have benefited from this miracle as well. Interesting. I mean, this miracle is more beneficial even than you would have thought, because they didn't see the miracles in Mitzrayim. They weren't at the Yamsuf. Could be.
It teaches them more faith as well. In other words, they didn't have a chance to learn this stuff.
Right. I mean, they did. They were living in the Midbar for 40 years
and
eating the man and drinking from the Be'er.
But
still.
That was their normal.
There's more. I mean, even if your normal is seeing the clouds of glory every day, you're still seeing the clouds of glory every day.
Exactly.
So But still, this would have been valuable for them. Let me ask you. The question we always have to come back to is, why is this such a big deal?
Exactly.
Why is it such a big deal? Why does it matter so much talking versus hitting?
Isn't hitting and getting water out of a rock a
That's
miracle?
Absolutely, it's a miracle. And Rashi agrees to that. Rashi's point is that, yes, it's a miracle, but it doesn't teach you the lesson of listening. So, but why is that lesson so important? So I think that in Rashi, in the first interpretation, I think you can develop these two things, the speaking versus the hitting, as two different forms of worship. What does hitting represent? The rock is hit and the rock gives forth water. What does that represent? What form of worship? Why is the rock giving the water?
Because it was hit.
Yes, and it doesn't want to be hit again. Or it was hit. Hitting is an external motivation. Hitting is fear.
Right. It's impatience.
We're talking about from the perspective of the rock. From the perspective of the rock responds because it was punished, because it was forced. It was pushed from the outside externally and it responds.
Well, you could say that it was knocking at the door with the stick.
It could have been a tap.
Yeah.
But when you hit with the stick, you don't tap. You smash.
And that works twice.
And that once twice. That's right. That's also true. So I think that you can interpret this Rashi as saying, and I think Rashi is really saying this, he focuses more on the second part. But the first, but it's also true. When you hit something and it responds, it's responding because it was hit. It was responding because it was pushed. If it's spoken to, so, right, they should have spoken to the rock. And the rock would have responded. And that would have taught the Jewish people that when you're spoken to, you respond. You don't have to be pushed. You don't have to be hit. You don't have to be rewarded. You don't have to be punished. Hashem says something and you do it. So I think that was the shift that Moshe gave up on. Moshe gave up on the internal motivation, the rock listening, and instead all he showed them is the opposite. He said, no, we don't listen to the internal. We only respond to the external. We only respond to being smacked. We only respond to being rewarded and punished. Let me quote from the Rambam. The Rambam, in the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, talks about two forms of worship. The two primary forms of worship, which are avoda,
love
is one, ava, me'ava, and mi'ira. Exactly right.
Mi'ira
from fear. And he says, what are these two things? He starts by quoting the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Ayomar Adam Hareini Osen Mitzvos HaTorah V'Osek V'Chachma Kidei She'ekabo Kol HaBrachos HaKsubos Bo O Kidei She'ezgil Chayel Mahaba. A person should not say, I'm going to do mitzvos and learn Torah so that I'll be rewarded now and in the next world. And I won't do Averos V'Eshmo V'Shemikol Averos She'ezhira Torah Mehen Kidei She'enatzel Min HaKlolos HaKsubos B'Torah so that I won't be punished. I won't be punished now, and I won't be punished in the next world. That's not the right way to serve God. That's worshipping out of fear. That's not how the prophets worshipped, and that's not how the wise people worshipped. Skipping to Halacha Beis. However, Ha'ovei me'ava, somebody who worships out of love, what does that mean? Oseik ba'Torah uv'mitzvos v'holich v'nesivos ha'chachma lo mepnei davar ba'olam lo mepnei yiras hara. This person learns Torah, performs the mitzvos, studies wisdom, not because of punishment, v'lo k'nei lirash ha'tova, and not to get rewarded. Ella, this is his definition, he performs what is true. He performs what is true because it is true. This is Abba. Abba, love of God, doesn't mean, as the way the Rambam describes, is not a passion. And it's not even emotional. It's cerebral. It's intellectual. It's osa emes mitoch shemes. You do things that are right because they're right. Now, what is right? Right is what God wills. God's will is self-defining. Whatever God wills is the right thing to do. And if God willed it, so I'm going to do it because that's true. Osa emes mitoch shu emes. Look, if you worship the other way, so at least you're doing the right thing. If you don't desecrate Shabbos because you don't want to be punished in Olam Haba, or you don't desecrate Shabbos because you don't want Beis Din to punish you, still you're keeping Shabbos. And that's wonderful. But that's not the way to serve God. The way to serve God is to realize that God is just, that realize that God is emes, that he's true, and that his will is true. And you do it not because you're going to be punished and not because you're going to be rewarded, but because that's the right thing to do. That's how we serve God. That's how we should serve God. I think that's where, according to Rashi, Moshe slipped. Moshe, for whatever reason, maybe emotional, maybe out of stress, maybe psychological, maybe he made an intellectual mistake. Moshe shifted to hitting, away from speaking. Speaking represents Abba. You speak to the rock, Moshe, you speak to the rock, and the rock will respond. Why? What's causing the rock to respond? Because it's the will of God. Osa emes mitokshu emes. If God wants it, it's true, and I'll do it, the rock says. But if you hit the rock, so the best you can expect the Jews to do is ove meira. They're not going to become chachamim, and they're not going to become neviim, because they're only going to respond to pain or to pleasure, but never to truth and never to wisdom. That's, I think, a framework that you can impose on Rashi. I think this is really what he's saying. He really has this shift from Abba, which God was trying to teach. I said, talk to the rocks so the Jews can learn how to serve me. This is what it means to serve Hashem. It means to serve Hashem out of love, not out of punishment and not out of reward. And Moshe can't teach them that lesson. How's that?
Even a donkey seat.
Another case where it's me, MS, because the donkey clearly has no free will. Could be. I'm not sure exactly. I haven't seen that discussed in that case, but it's a continuation of the rock. I'll summarize in just three sentences the opinions of the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban and the Rambam find different issues with Moshe. The Rambam says that Moshe's fault was that he got angry. He lost control. Shimun Amorim, he was yelling at them. He buckled. And Kas is an overwhelming chait. The Rambam writes, and the Gemara says that anger is like worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the Ramban, his approach is that he says that the midah, the problem was not anger, it was pride.
Pride?
Pride.
He was so humble.
Generally. And in this case also. But he didn't live up to his own standard. And he points to the pasuk. What did Moshe say to the Jewish people? After that, the Rambam takes issue with that part. Shimun Amorim, he gets angry, he yells at them. The Ramban says, no, he wasn't yelling at them. That wasn't the problem. The Ramban says the problem was that he said, Haminasela hazeh notzi lachem mayim. Do you want to see me get water out of this rock? What should he have said? He said, Hashem. Even from this rock Hashem can get water.
He attributes it. I'm going to show you how Hashem is going to give us water.
That's what he should have said.
Yeah, he casts doubt instead of putting it all in a positive.
Well, he's not reading it as that question. The question, there's a question about whether or not this is a question, but according to the Ramban, Moshe's pride was greater here than it was in other cases. And because of that, he was punished. So we have three interpretations. We'll get to in 1 second. There's Rashi's interpretation, which is the shift, I think, from Ava to Yira, and the Ramban and the Rambam who see either pride or anger in this sin. Yeah.
We have Vayomer Lahem, Shimu Na Hamomim, colon. Amin hasela hazeh notzim lachem notzi lachem mayim. You're saying, you movim, you're saying, amin hasela hazeh notzi lachem mayim.
You're saying maybe that's a quote from the people.
Exactly, that's what the movim are saying. Amin hasela hazeh notzi lachem mayim.
Interesting. I don't remember seeing that interpretation.
Well, that's me.
That's you. That's you.
That's the Divrei Jessica.
Divrei Jessica. They call it the DJ. The DJ, the Divrei Jessica.
Doesn't it make sense? Lahem Shimuna Hamawim who say Hamin Hasela Hazeh Notzi Lachem Mayim. It makes so much sense.
How are you interpreting the word Shimu? The word Shimu means listen.
Yes. Listen, you rebellious
people.
You're saying Hamin Hasela Hazeh Notzi Lachem Mayim. You don't believe. And so I'm gonna show you how Notzi Mehem Mayim. I'll show you.
Okay, you're adding a couple of words into the pasuk, but still the pasuk's very difficult.
Well,
we'll give you a little bit of leeway.
Give me a lot of leeway.
Here's the point that I wanted to show, the thread that ties them together. In each of these interpretations, let's start with the Ramban and the Rambam. Either it's Ka'as or it's Gaiva. Why is Ka'as so bad?
You lose yourself.
You lose control.
But listen to what Gemara says, and Rambam quotes it. Kas is as bad as worshipping Avodah Zarah.
You know, has anybody in this room ever not lost their temper? It's human.
But
every one of us has.
We don't need to apologize when we're trying to tell people not to get angry.
But it's part of being human.
Why does the Rambam, the Gemara, why did it say that it's like worshipping Avodah Zarah?
Why?
That's my question. Stanley wants to know the answer also.
Well, because maybe there's something going on that's really upset you, and instead of praying to Hashem to help you with this thing.
So one classical interpretation is exactly what you're saying. If somebody assumed that God was in control, so then the external circumstances would not have gotten them so angry. That's one interpretation. I want to spit. It's a loss of control that stems from a lack of belief, a lack of faith. But I think it's more than that. It's putting it together. It's a shift towards the person, meaning either Hashem is not in control, or what happened to me is so overwhelming that everything else doesn't matter anymore. And you just blow up. And kas, anger, has a focus inward. It's self-centered in that way. Pride is obviously self-centered. Obviously. And I think that in Rashi's interpretation, you can see something similar as well. Rashi's interpretation is the rock only responds to hitting, right? Those who serve God out of fear, who are they really serving? If I want to get married, so I go to Amuka and I dive into Hashem, who am I really serving? It's a skula. If I want to get rich, so I honor my parents so that I can get rich, who am I really serving?
Yourself.
Myself. I think in all three of these interpretations, there's a shift towards the selfish. Certainly in the Ramban, in the pride. I think in the Rambam also, I think that's a very clear case. I think in Rashi also, in each one, what Moshe was demonstrating is shift towards the selfish. And maybe that's why he was punished with not going into Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, while we all say that leaders are people too, the Torah has a very, very high standard, certainly from those who give the Torah, who present the Torah to the Jewish people. And once Moshe shifts towards being selfish, he's no longer right to be leader. He's no longer possible to be leader. In fact, what was the greatness of Moshe? So the Rambam writes, he was anav mikol Adam, and therefore, shechina midaberes mitoch bono shel Moshe. When God spoke, he spoke out of Moshe's mouth. And the voice was not Moshe's voice. It was a foreign voice. Moshe in terms as a conduit between Hashem and God and the people, didn't exist. His greatness was that he didn't exist. His aniva, the reason that his anivas is so important, is because his zich, his sense of his selfishness, didn't exist, and now it starts to bubble up. So Hashem says, "Well, it's not going to work anymore. It's not going. What was special about you was how selfish and humble you were. And even by our standards, what Moshe did was nothing. It's all a great story about a Hasidic Rebbe who used to throw his averos out for tashlich, and the Hasidim would go gather them. They said, because his averos are my mitzvos. Moshe's avero over here, the one that for which he got the death penalty, for us would be a mitzvah. But for Moshe, it was still an avera, and Moshe still gets punished.
Terrible.
And
although in the end, Hashem gives him a wonderful compliment when he dies. I can't remember what he says. He's a faithful servant.
Absolutely. Moshe was...
After he died, no, who needs it?
As well, you mean...
I don't know, but
the Rambam refers to Moshe as the Bechir Ha'anushi, the chosen person of all of humanity and all of human history. Moshe was unbelievably great. And because he was so unbelievably great,
more was required of him.
You see, I would have thought that Hashem would have taught us how to have Rachmanis by...
He taught us that in many other places. That's what the whole Torah is about. That's not what this specific pasuk is about.
True.
Gave the people water, right? Even though he Moshe did the wrong thing.
To those who much is given, much is expected.
Doing it the right way.
Correct.
Did you make that up?
No, I didn't. Oh. That's not the difference.
That's not the DJ?
And you know, Rabbi Rosenblatt knows about the difference.
Did you write them down?
No, he told me once.
You should. You know that you can buy a notebook that says Divrei Torah, Chidushei Torah. And but it's an empty notebook and it's leather bound. You should get one of those for the Divrei Jesse.
That's what Rabbi Rosenblatt said I should buy.
Okay, friends. I wish you a wonderful week.
Thank you.
And much hatzlach in our learning.